A reading from Acts chapter 10. Peter crosses the immense religious and social boundary that separates Jews from Gentiles in order to proclaim the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, so that God's forgiveness in Jesus' name would reach out to the Gentiles just as it had to the Jews. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John had announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Christ is risen.
The reading is from Matthew, the 28th chapter. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook, became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. But he is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the good Lord, good news of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. It all happened so fast. Like a car crash set in motion by seen and unseen forces, the death of Jesus was tragically set in motion and could not be stopped. The sounds of tragedy resonated in their ears, like the sound of crashing metal and breaking glass. The smell of death clung into their nostrils, and by then, the whiplash had begun to set in. All tragic reminders of what had happened to our Lord Jesus. Going back to the tomb was difficult at best. On the way there, both of the Marys walked together in silence, reflecting on all the events of the last few days. They had seen the wreckage up close, Jesus nailed to the cross, hung up, naked, spat upon, discarded and disregarded. The insult still hung in the air like an oppressive smoke. The these memories were yet very raw. But today was the day that they would go, the two Marys, alone, to the tomb. And it was early. The men were still asleep, and so were the children. But they just had to go to be near him, even if it was just to visit his tomb. That's when they noticed the light, the bright, blinding light. An angel, a messenger had come. There were no wings or halos as they had imagined, but there was a telltale sign. All angels said the same thing: do not be afraid. This stopped them in their tracks. At once their ears perked up, their eyes no longer downcast, and they looked up toward the light to greet this messenger with nothing more than a glance, a knowing glance that shattered their grief in an instant. Could it be true that Jesus has risen, just like Lazarus? But how? Where? Why? Questions flooded through their minds, and the Marys looked at each other, and with a look, they knew. They just knew what they must do next. Their feet found the way to the garden path, and it's as if their feet knew the way, the path toward him, the path toward Jesus. Earlier, had their eyes been too clouded by grief to see clearly? Was this a cruel joke, or could it possibly be true? Was the Lord actually alive? So when Jesus greeted them, they fell to his feet and they wept and they laughed in shock and in disbelief. The dread and the fear of that week that they had felt was transformed into something else entirely. Hope. It was him. It was him, all right. It was our Lord Jesus risen from the grave. We don't need to understand physics to know that this doesn't just happen, except on a day like this, this glorious day when God broke all the rules. Suddenly, it no longer mattered how it happened, but that it indeed had happened. The forces of death that destroyed Jesus were no match for the love of God. And Jesus, who met them on the path, said, go and tell the others. And so once again, both of the Marys found their feet running, skipping like children as they went to tell the others. As they ran, the breath of God filled their lungs, removing from their nostrils the putrid stench of death. As they went, these horrifying echoes in their ears were replaced by a joyful song, a song they had never known. At once, the misery of death and despair had been transformed into something altogether new. The fear that they had felt earlier just dissipated, because Jesus said, go and tell the others. They had news. They had news to tell, and it must be shared. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It's not that they were naive to the way things work, life and death and all that. It's just that they had seen the power of God in this man named Jesus. They had witnessed the miracles. They had eaten a meal with Lazarus after he had been raised up again. And they knew that this was for real. So what are two Marys to do? Feet flying fast, inches above the garden path, with news bursting out of their lungs, singing God's praises through shouts, through song, praising God, pulsing through their veins. What could they do but share the good news? They could do no other. And so it is for us this Easter too. This is not just a story of what happened so long ago. It because this is as real as it gets. If you ever doubt that Jesus has risen from the dead, there are some modern-day witnesses who can tell you their stories. Just look to your left and to your right and those ahead and behind you. There are stories to be told. Just ask an addict who grapples with death every day and knows that God walks those 12 steps too. If you ever doubt that Jesus has risen, look with wonder as you see someone reaching out to hold the hand of one who dies or one who has been discarded. You see the tenderness and care that only can be a gift from God from above. If you ever doubt the resurrection, just look in the mirror and see clearly what God sees in you, child of God. Someone who was once dead, but now who has new life pulsing through your veins. Someone who was once lost, and maybe lost again, but is now is found over and over again, day by day, all by the grace of God. No longer are you and I to lug around the guilt and shame of the past. No, we can lay this at the feet of Jesus and let our joyful feet follow in the path of the two Marys, the path that they took. Now, the two Marys, they did their part on that day. They told their story, not once or twice, but every day of their lives. You know they did. You know they told that resurrection story to everyone who would listen, to friends and strangers, and anyone who would open their door when they knocked. Some probably called them crazy. They didn't care, because it was their mission to tell, to go and to tell. And that's our job too. Just as the two Marys told the story of the resurrection, it is now up to us. We don't have time to perfect a message or rehearse it again and again to get it just right. All we need to do is go. Go and tell in our own words. If we let our feet follow the path before us, the good news will simply pour out of us through our hands and our feet, in our words, in our actions, through the very pores of our skin. But we must go without delay. Why would we wait, after all, when we have the most wonderful news to share with the world? Because the world really does still need to know that this resurrection is for you and for me and so many others who still need to hear it. It's for the children of Syria who yearn for safety. It's for the laid-off worker who needs to pay the rent and has no idea where to turn. It's for the couple whose marriage is falling apart. It's for the kid who feels like going to school is like being devoured by vultures day by day. The good news that the angel delivered in the tomb is the same message that we need today, thousands of years later. God has defeated the forces of death now and for all time. It has been done. That's the good news of Easter. The resurrection is for real. But now we must go. We must go and tell. Go and tell the good news that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for the hymn.